I sniffed the air again, just to be sure. Drover, all at once, I smell bacon.
Yeah, me too. I wonder what it could be.
I think it could be bacon, Drover, because bacon smells exactly like bacon.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Funny how that happens.
You won't think it's so funny if I find out that you ate my property. Did you just eat some bacon?
Well, let's see here. Yes, I did, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't yours. It was just lying around under the covers. I don't think it belonged to anybody. It was lost.
I felt my temper rising. It was lost? What kind of clam-brained answer is that? You knew exactly whose bacon that was, and you ate it anyway.
Well, I thought...
You'll pay for this, Drover. If we ever get out of this house alive, you will pay a terrible price for your greed and gluttony and stealing from your very best friend in the whole world. How can you stand yourself?
I don't know. I smell pretty bad when I'm wet.
That smell comes from your rotten sense of morals, Drover. Who would steal two slices of bacon from his best friend?
Well, let's see. Pete would.
Yes, of course, but he's a cat. Is that your standard of behavior? Do you want to be a cat when you grow up?
Not really.
Well, you just might, pal. Were you aware that researchers have found a direct link between bacon and cats?
No, I missed that.
They've found, and this is a laboratory test, Drover, solid scientific evidence. They've found that dogs who eat two or more slices of bacon often turn into cats.
Oh my gosh!
And the group with the highest risk include dogs with sawed-off stub tails.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, you're sorry now, aren't you, huh? You may have just thrown your whole life away, Drover. And for what?
I don't want to be a cat. I don't even like cats. I'd hate myself if I turned into a cat.
Well, that may be your punishment, son. I'm sorry.
You couldn't help it.
Thanks. Let's get out of here. Little Alfred was already down on the floor and creeping towards the kitchen. I smothered my anger and outrage, hopped off the bed, and followed him through the gloomy darkness. We sneaked our way through the bedroom and into the kitchen. In the middle of the kitchen, little Alfred stopped, placed his finger over his lips, and said, "Shh." I don't know why he felt the need to tell us to shush. We were operating in stealthy crouch mode and couldn't have moved any silenter if we'd been flies wearing something. Ballet slippers, I suppose. But he stopped in the middle of the kitchen, Alfred did, and gave us the shush signal, and then we began the last leg of our dangerous journey to the back door. We'd gone no more than two or three steps when suddenly and all of a sudden, the creepy dark silence of the night was ripped and torn by the loud ring of a bell. Holy smokes, we must have tripped a fire alarm, burglar alarm, air raid siren, whatever. Something that made a terrible, loud ringing sound. And fellers, you talk about having the liver scared right out of you. That did it. All at once, we had chaos amongst the yearlings, so to speak. I mean, it was totally dark in there except for the eerie flashes of lightning coming through the windows. And children and dogs were running in all directions. In the space of 10 seconds, I ran into Drover 3 times. I don't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. Running in circles, I suppose. Then little Alfred stampeded right over the top of me, stepped on my tail in 2 places, and went streaking back to his bed. The thing, the awful ringing thing, rang a second time, sending another jolt of electrical fear down my spine and out to the end of my tail. I had lost all sense of direction. I banged my nose into the kitchen cabinets, slipped and slided on the linoleum floor, and continued to stumble over Drover. It was then that I began to piece together the pieces of the puzzle. The ringing we had heard, the awful piercing ring that had thrown us into such a panic, turned out to be... The telephone, it seemed. The phone was ringing, don't you see? And that would have been no big deal except for one small detail. Sally Mae jumped out of bed and came pounding through the house in our direction. Why? Because the telephone happened to be mounted on the kitchen wall, the east wall to be exact, and since that's where the telephone was ringing, you get the point. here she came. Those were her footsteps on the floor. As far as I knew, Sally Mae had a fairly dainty set of hooves. But they sure didn't sound dainty at that hour of the night when she was chasing the telephone. Shook the whole house is what she did. And you can imagine the effect this had on me and Drover. Mostly Drover. It threw us, him, into a new and higher dimension of terror. I mean, from the moment we had set foot in this house, the thing we had feared most was a face-to-face meeting with Sally Mae. And now, she was coming our way, sounding like 13 frankincense monsters or a herd of charging elephants. And there we were in the middle of her kitchen, running around in circles and banging into things and wondering what form of execution she would choose for us. Hanging? Firing squad? Flogging to death with a broom? Strangulation? Perhaps you're wondering why we didn't do the obvious and simple thing, follow Alfred into his room and seek shelter in his closet or beneath his bed. It wasn't fear of spiders, I can tell you that. The thought of standing before Sally Mae's frigid glare caused my fear of spiders to melt away like something. Butter on a piece of corn. A snowflake on a branding iron. Give me 10,000 crawling spiders and I'll shake all 8 hands with all 10,000 if it will spare me the fate of being caught in the house by Sally Mae. Trouble was, we couldn't find our way to Alfred's room. I mean, it was very dark in there, and after a guy runs in circles for a while, he loses all sense of direction. And she was almost there, and we were almost dead meat. But at the last possible second, I squirted myself beneath the kitchen table and poured myself into a ball in the corner, as far away from her as I could get. Which wasn't nearly far enough, but the best I could do. Drover followed. There, we ceased all breathing and waited to see what would happen. Here's what happened. First, she switched on the light. Not once, but several times. And nothing happened. I mean, no light came on. It appeared that the storm had knocked out the electricity. Second, the phone continued to ring. A third ring, then a fourth, until at last she found the receiver. Then, in a sleepy voice, she said,
"Hello? Who is this? Do you know what time it is?" "Uh-huh. Then what?" Oh, my goodness. Yes, right away. I hope you'll be all right, and thanks for calling."
She hung up the phone. By this time, Loper had gotten up and wandered out into the middle of the house, somewhere close to where Sally Mae was located. His voice sounded pretty croaky. "Now what? This place is like trying to sleep in downtown Amarillo."
"That was Slim. He just got a call from the sheriff's office in town. We're under a tornado warning. There's one on the ground and headed our way. Everyone on the creek is supposed to take cover."
"Wow, that woke me up. Okay, hon, we'd better head for the cellar. You grab Molly and a blanket. Where's the flashlight?"
"In the top drawer, where it's supposed to be."
Loper's feet shuffled across the kitchen floor. "Dadgum, there's that water again." He opened the drawer and felt around inside. "Hun, it's gone."
"It was there just yesterday."
"It's gone now."
"I'm not about to go into that musty cellar without a flashlight. There's no telling what might be down there."
Just then, guess who came out of his bedroom, walking in the beam of the missing flashlight?
"Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Are you looking for the flashlight?"
There was a moment of silence. Then Loper said,
"Why, yes, we were. And one of these days, I'd like to hear the story of how you happened to be walking around in the middle of the night with it. But not now."
Loper took the flashlight and started giving orders. Alfred was to get his blankie and pillow. In kid language, blankie means blanket. Sally Mae was to gather up baby Molly while he, Loper, would open several windows and dig a couple of raincoats out of the closet. and everyone was supposed to wear shoes, since they would be walking across weeds and stickers, plus water dogs, snakes, lizards, and whatever else might be lurking in the darkness. Moments later, they had all gathered in the kitchen. From my hiding place under the table, I could see their feet and ankles. The flashlight was on, see? Loper spoke in a voice that was soft but firm.
Everybody here? When we get outside, join hands and stay together. Let's go, y'all.
And with that, they left the house and went out into the stormy night. The last thing I heard before the door closed behind them was Sally Mae's comment.
What on earth happened to my screen door? Just wait till I get a hold of those dogs.
Go.
Oh, yes. And then little Alfred whispered,
"Bye, doggies. Good luck."
Good luck, indeed. We would need several truckloads of it.